I just want to say a word before we get into the sermon today. How amazing it is, youth camp, you know. There's two people that are now, their names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I am just excited today. And thank you everyone that donated towards the cause, who sold cookies, who was involved in the murder mystery, all this stuff, you know. This is what it's all about. And it's precious, and it's beyond any kind of cost. This is what it's all about. And just be in that attitude today of thanking God for winning out in two lives. Amen. Praise the holy name of the Lord. Today I want us to get back into the fruit of the Spirit. You may have noticed that, you know, I'm slowly getting through the fruit of the Spirit. A few weeks ago, we talked about joy. Remember that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And then peace. We covered peace a few weeks back. The peace of God that passes all understanding. And now we've gotten to a fruit of the Spirit called patience. Ooh, patience. This is a tough one, isn't it? Patience, patience. And as with all the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about before, just know that the fruit of the Spirit is what God does in us when we draw close to Him. Amen? When we are sold out for the Lord and we say, Holy Spirit, come into my life and saturate my life with you, something changes inside of us. And today we want to look at the fruit of the Spirit. But first, let's go to Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. I'll give you a minute to turn there if you want. Galatians 5, as I rehydrate. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And if you're looking at your King James Version this morning, the word patience is actually long-suffering, long-suffering. A truck driver sat down in an all-night restaurant. And he was sitting there, and the waitress had just put his plate of food before him when in swaggered some motorcycle riders. And the first one came up to the man that was just served his food, and he grabbed his hamburger and took a big bite out of it. The second one grabbed a fistful of fries and was enjoying them. The third guy, he picked up his coffee and began to drink it. Well, the trucker responded with great patience. That's what we're after today, patience. He calmly got up, picked up his check, put his money on the cash register, and headed for the door. The waitress watched as the big truck drove off into the night. When she returned, one of the bikers said to her, well, he wasn't much of a man, was he? To which she replied, he's not much of a truck driver either. He just ran over three motorcycles in the parking lot. The man had patience, didn't he? Patience. If you remember a few weeks back, we talked about the peace of God. And do you remember that first we said before we can have horizontal peace with people, we have to get our vertical relationship with God right. We have to have peace with God. We have to say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, and cling to Jesus Christ as our Lord, our Savior. And once we get that right, we can have horizontal peace with people. We covered that. If peace is termed conflict resolution, then this week we're talking about patience, and we can call that anger management. We're all experts at that, aren't we? The interesting thing about the fruit of the Spirit is each fruit is connected with all the others. Only one who demonstrates peace in their life can truly display patience, and likewise, patience is a necessary prerequisite for establishing peace in our lives. But today I want to talk about patience. Do you ever get mad? Yeah, everybody should nod their head. We do get mad from time to time. Has getting mad, or a friend of mine used to say it like this, letting the badger out. Have you ever heard of that before? I mean, just going crazy, just losing control. Has that ever helped you? No, it hasn't helped me either, and I've been there. I'm doing better now, but I want to tell you about something that happened when Sandy and I were first married, maybe a year into our marriage, which we're almost at 35 years now. But so 34 years ago, approximately, we had just built a little old house. I mean, it's small. And we had a relatively new refrigerator. And I can remember so vividly, you know how some things you don't want to remember, they're up there for good. And I can remember going to the refrigerator, like I always do, opening the door, and out jumped one of those big gallon jars of pickles. And it slammed down on the floor, broke, glass everywhere, pickles everywhere, pickle juice everywhere, under the refrigerator, all over me, all over the kitchen. And this is early 80s, and this refrigerator, if you remember those, in the door, right in the middle, there, at least in ours, there was a little smoke-colored plastic rotating thing, and you lifted it up, it rotated up, you put your butter in there, right? So, and then you put it back down. For some reason, I was so aggravated. Do you remember this, Sandy? Yeah. It was like a reaction. I just punched that thing. So now I had pickles, pickle juice, glass, smoke-colored plastic, and butter all over my hand. It made me feel kind of foolish. I remember my new bride looked at me like, "What are you doing?" And it was just crazy. Do you ever pray that old prayer, "God, give me patience and give it to me right now"? It doesn't work that way, does it? Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, and only as we are filled with the Spirit of God and we stay connected. I love how the Bible calls it a fruit, because we all know what happens if you do something to the vine of a fruit. You know, we were going to Raleigh yesterday, and of course around St. James you see all those grapevines, you know, everywhere, and they're looking pretty good. They need some rain. But what if you were to go and take a chainsaw and cut the vine off? It wouldn't last long, would it? We must stay connected to our vine, which is Christ Jesus. I have a definition for you this morning of what patience, a good definition of patience, I think. Patience is a calm endurance based on the certainty that God is in control. I like that. A calm endurance, because you believe, you tell yourself, you know God is in control. And that's where we need to rest, that God is in control of not only my life, but America, everything. We need to rest in that. But you know, it's easy to be impatient, isn't it? It's very easy. I have two reasons. There's probably others, but at least two reasons why. It goes against our human nature to be patient. The nature that, which is also I would call our sin nature. When we're born, we have this sin nature, and to be patient is not consistent with that. When a little baby is hungry at night, does it ever think to itself, I know mom and dad have been working hard, you know. I think I'll just wait a few hours before I start crying. It doesn't work that way, does it? From the moment we're born, we want things to be taken care of for us immediately. And that baby is going to try out its lungs and see how high it can get until it's satisfied, until it receives some attention. So that's number one. It's against our nature to be patient. Number two, it's contrary to our culture to be patient. I mean, we're in America, right? We solve problems. We work harder as far as, you know, days per year than any place in the world. We push the envelope in so many ways, and that's all wonderful, and it's good, but it leaves us somewhat impatient. And those of us that have traveled abroad recognize quickly that the rest of the world takes things a little easier sometimes. We are a little, as Americans, we're a little tighter wound, you know. So that's another reason why I think it's hard for us just to be patient right off the bat. John Piper, a famous preacher, says that impatience is a form of unbelief. It's what we begin to feel when we start to doubt the wisdom of God's timing or the goodness of His guidance. Have you ever thought about it like that? When I'm impatient, it's a way of saying I'm shaky on my belief system. But we're sitting behind the wheel of our life, but it feels like we're not getting anywhere. And as a result, our anger builds up, and sometimes we spray shrapnel everywhere, leaving a path of destruction in our relationships. And you know, this occurred to me probably 20 years ago in our marriage. And I think it was a God thing. But have you, and I may be talking to someone here, or maybe talking to several someones. Have you ever had problems at the office or at work or just at the supermarket? It doesn't matter. Outside of the house, and you bring it back into your house. And you take it out on your spouse. You take it out on your kids or what have you. Has that ever happened to you? About 20 years ago, it was just like something went off in my head. Isn't that crazy that we are impatient with the people we love the most? It doesn't make any sense, does it? We need patience in our life. So we can wait on God where we are, not giving up. But God sometimes wants to put us in His waiting room. Have you ever been in God's waiting room? You know, where it's not yes and it's not no, but maybe it's not yet. And we have to persevere in that. We have to be patient in that. We can also move at God's pace, not at our own. Not being impulsive or reckless or taking things in our own hand. But in short, we need to slow down. We need to slow down our life. In Luke 21 and 19, it says, "By standing firm, you will gain life." We need to stand firm in faith, knowing that God has our back. And I like Psalm 130, if they could put that up here. I'm going to be here a little while, so I might want to leave it up there. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. Very good. It says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning." I wait for the Lord. That's kind of Old Testament phrase, waiting for the Lord. And it's what we need to do. That phrase is from the Old Testament. It describes the opposite of impatience. When we wait for the Lord and don't bail out on Him, and we don't get ahead of Him, it's staying put when He says to stay put. It's going forward when He says to go forward. The psalmist also mentions that his hope is in God's word. Did you see that? "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope." To put our hope in the word of the Lord is how we get the fruit of patience to really ripen and blossom in our lives. When patience is thin in our lives, this is what we need to do. We need to grab hold of the hope that comes through the Scripture. Amen? We need to read our Bibles. We need to memorize parts of it that we can't. We need to take it into our lives. And I know, I say this, and I know almost every other pastor, preacher you've ever known has said this, to read your Bible. Romans 15 and 4 says, in the Living Bible translation, Romans 15, 4 says, these things that were written in the Scriptures so long ago are to teach us patience and to encourage us. So on the subject of patience, the Word of God teaches us patience. We must have the Word of God in our lives. I know I say it a lot, but please read and study your Bible. Its wealth no one can contain. I remember I went to the doctor not too long ago for just a general, checkup. And he found out that my blood pressure was better than it had been a year ago when I went. That my heart was stronger. That my pulse was lower than previous. He said, Jeff, what have you done? And I said, well, because of my knee problems, a couple operations and all that, I'm supposed to ride my exercise bike every day. And so I've been doing that better. And he said, for your physical body, exercise helps everything. He said, any doctor will tell you that exercise helps everything. Let me tell you something spiritually. If we read this word, if we take it in, if we actually study it and apply it to our lives, it helps everything spiritually in our lives. Studying the word of God, I cannot overemphasize that. I know because I used to not study the word. I'm a testimonial. I'm no big deal, but what I'm saying is I know I want to try to express to you the importance of studying the Word. This is a supernatural Word. God's given it to us. And the Scripture we just read said that these things written so long ago helps teach us patience and encourages us. Well, continuing on in Psalm 130, verse number 6, it says, we are to wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. And then it's repeated again, isn't it? More than watchmen wait for the morning. What did the scribes do? Did they make a mistake? Did they put it in there twice? No. When you try to interpret Scripture, everybody knows that when something is repeated, it's there for emphasis. It's important. We wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. Who are these watchmen they're talking about? It's talking about a walled city. And there were certain men designated as the watchmen. And they would stand there with their spear and they would watch through the dark hours of the night. They were alert, they were obedient, and they eagerly waited for the sun to rise. Why? Because it meant they could relax, they could get some sleep, but they could not control the sun. They could not control the sunrise. Let me tell you, the watchmen knew that the difference between their job, which was to watch, and God's job, which was to ordain the sun to rise. Our job is to watch, and only God can direct the sun to rise. We wait for our issues of this life until the rays of God's illumination allows us to see how to proceed. Just like the watchman, we watch and let God do His thing, and then we can do our thing. Patience. Patience is a complex word in the Bible. And when a man named Miles Coverdale translated the Bible into English way back in 1535, he had to invent the phrase long-suffering. He invented that compound word to describe the Greek phrase found in Galatians 5 and 22. It was such a good rendering that the translators of the King James Version used the same word in 1611, and that's your King James Bible. That was an invented word, but it describes so beautifully what the Greek word for patience was. Waiting, long suffering. A patient person has the ability to suffer for a long time. And the word, you know how I'm kind of a word crazy. Patience literally means this, wrath that is put far away. Wrath that is put far away. If we allow the Spirit of God to control us and to come into our lives, fits of rage can be put far away. Patient people are hard to provoke. Patience is, and this is mainly for the guys. I mean, you ladies, you're welcome to this too, but I think the guys will get this better. I didn't write this. I found it. It says this. Patience, get this, guys. Patience is like good motor oil. It doesn't remove all the contaminants. It just puts them into suspension so they don't get in your works and seize them up. That's pretty good, isn't it? Patience gets things out of the way so we don't seize up. And as we've learned from other fruit of the Spirit, patience is both a gift and a task. This Christ-like character quality comes to us as a result of grace, but we need to use it in our lives. God gives it to us, and we are to use it. I have three things I wrote down that will help clothe us. When you go out these doors, out into the world, you need to take off impatience and clothe yourself with patience. And here's three ways to do it. First of all, look at annoying people through the eyes of Jesus. That helps. It really does. Philippians 2 and 3 says, "Do nothing out of the selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." Considering others better than yourselves. What does this mean on Main Street? I'll tell you what it means. To see others, annoying people, and there's annoying people through the eyes of Jesus. It means when you're following a slow driver, okay? Has anybody ever been there? When you're following a slow driver, instead of tailgating, guilty, back off and deliberately imagine this person as someone's grandfather. See what I mean? You will quickly realize you don't blow up at grandpa. You love him. You understand him. So that's point one. See people as Jesus would. Point number two, hang around patient people. If there's enough people like that to hang around with, right? But did you know that anger is contagious? Has anybody ever worked with angry people? Has anybody here not worked with angry people? I have, very much so. And it's contagious. You get people snarling and spitting and backbiting. You find yourself, if you're not catching it, you're finding yourself kind of change a little bit. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." That hit it right on the head, didn't it? If we can be messed up by hanging around angry people, we can also learn patience by hanging around patient or long-suffering people. This is something I found here too. It says a writer for Reader's Digest wrote how he studied the Amish people. He was studying them for a paper he was going to write, an article about him. And in watching the Amish kids at the playground, he noticed that he didn't hear them scream or yell at all. And he was amazed by this. And this reporter went to the principal of the school and said, "Why don't the Amish kids ever seem to get angry?" And the principal looked at him and said, "Well, have you ever heard of an Amish adult yell? Have you ever seen them get angry? It's because they're hanging around good, patient people." Number three, and this is, I think this is where the rubber hits the road in my life and hopefully in your life. Release your anger correctly. Ephesians 4 and 26 says, "In your anger, do not sin." Now that means that there's right ways to go about handling your anger and wrong ways to handle it, to process anger. Number one is suppress it. That was always my favorite. Hold it in, you know. That's when we ignore it and hold it in, but that's not good because that will lead to depression when we hold it all in. Number two is express it. That's some of my friends, that's their favorite mode of handling anger. And many psychologists say that we all have a bucket full of anger we just need to dump. Well, that's great, except for the people you're dumping it on, right? That's not so good either. And the problem with that is once we start that, we create an internal factory of fury with unlimited production capability. Once we get in that mode, we just start dumping on everybody. So that's not good either. And Proverbs 29:11 backs that up. It says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. So we shouldn't suppress it. We shouldn't express it. We need to confess it. When you're angry, don't try to hide it. Don't try to hold it in. Admit it to yourself. You're angry. And own it before God also. It's always a good idea first to go to God. And then if you need to, confess it to the people you're mad at in a controlled way. You'll be amazed how your anger leaves when that happens. So we have looking at annoying people like Jesus would, hanging out with patient people, releasing your anger correctly. Number four is rely on God's help. That's how we clothe ourselves in patience. And patience is at the very heart of God's nature. Don't you think so? Hasn't God been patient with you? He's been patient with me. He's been patient with America. He's been patient with Israel for like thousands of years. Psalm 145 and 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And while the other three is important, it's a practical way to live your life and use the patience that God will give you. Number four is the most important, relying on God. Because we can't do it on our own. We can't change into a different person without God blessing us. The main thing is this final point, to allow patience in our lives, to allow it to flourish. Remember, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Welcome the Spirit of the Lord in your life. And yes, pray every day. Study your Bible. Worship the Lord. The kind of worship we had up here, it just lifts me. Does it lift you? If we can get in that heavenly mindset, if we can give it all to God, you will be amazed at what God will do in this area of your life. It's hard to go through life not knowing how you're going to react to things. But I believe this word of God, and I believe that patience is not only a virtue, it is a reality. When we submit to God, but we have to stay connected to the vine. which is Christ. It is our strength. He is our strength. All power to live this life, this one and only life, and give glory unto God. Lisa, if you wouldn't mind coming with the guys. As they come up here to play one more song, I just want to challenge you today. And ask yourself honestly this morning, would you describe yourself as patient or impatient? And as in all the fruit of the Spirit we're going through, know that patience can be a part of your new character, a new level of control in your life. And joy will also come in. Submit yourselves unto the Lord and allow the Spirit of God, to enrich you. In this world, there's no way to get there. We can have all the little tricks, but it just accumulates. You know, to me, it's kind of like the old sacrificial system in the Old Testament. It didn't forgive sin. It just pushed it ahead. Impatience in your life is never taken care of until the Spirit of God takes care of it for you. And you can be different. You can be a new person. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. So if this is an issue in your life and you want to pray about it, please come forward to these altars. I would love to pray with you. And just trust God that as we pour ourselves into God, He will pour this wonderful fruit, these attributes of Christ's character, right into us. And we will not only have a much better life, but we will be a better witness, a better ambassador for Christ. So as they sing, come forward if you like.